in the parking lot of Jack's grocery store in Marinette, Wisconsin. And the Holy Spirit just worked in me. I had no idea this was going to happen. And the tears started coming. I said, "Mom, I love you so much. You can know today where you're going to spend eternity." My mom's going to be 93 in December. I said, "Mom, I don't know if your heart's right with the Lord or not, but if it isn't, wouldn't you like to pray?" And she looked me right in the eyes and she said yes. And she received Christ on Monday afternoon of this week. 40 years of praying, so don't give up. Words are powerful. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. My mom spoke words of life. Life in Christ. And now she knows she will have eternal life as well. When Paul and I were living in Arizona, that was about 6 years ago. It was just about this time of year, actually kind of the end of October, early November. And Paul got a cold. So on Wednesday, he was doing pretty good. Well, by Thursday, he was going downhill quickly. So he went to the doctor on Thursday morning, and they did an x-ray to see if he had pneumonia. We went back home, and Thursday afternoon, things just proceeded to go downhill. My normally happy, energetic, hungry husband was tired, lethargic, and had no appetite. I had 4 hours ahead of me that night of worship team practice and choir at church. Paul said, "Go. I want you to go." I wasn't real thrilled because I really kind of felt like maybe I should stay home. But I obeyed. I went. During our worship team practice, I was sitting in my spot. We had a break. And all of a sudden, I had this picture in my mind of my precious husband sprawled out in his recliner, laying back. It was reclined. His mouth was open. His eyes were shut. And his skin had a grayish color to it. I was shocked. I was scared. And then I got mad. And I said, "Devil, you take that picture and get in Jesus' name." Well, choir came along. Wouldn't you know, that same vision came back to me during choir. I'm going, "Whoa, wait a minute. God, you're talking to me. You're telling me something. I'm listening." The Lord wanted me to go home after choir and pray for my husband. He also wanted me to get a couple of good friends to go and pray with me. So I did. And they did. When I went home, I saw Paul exactly, to a T, the way I had seen him in that vision, sprawled out in his recliner, his eyes closed, his mouth open, with a grayish color to his skin. Our friends came over. Together we prayed. We took authority in Jesus' name over death, and we called forth life and health and healing. And praise God, my husband's alive and well today. After we finished praying, his color returned, His breathing was better. He opened his eyes. He was able to communicate fairly well. And from then, things just got better. Life and death were literally in the power of the tongue that night. Ladies, our words are powerful. Very, very powerful. Another cute, fun incident to share with you. When one of our grandsons was a year and a half old, his mother had to corral him to change his diaper. You know how that goes. So she caught him and carried him into the bedroom and laid him on the carpeted floor. And he's wiggling and squirming and giggling. This is a fun game. And she's thinking, I got to get this done. So she took her leg and laid it over him to constrain him. That little toddler took his little chubby finger, pointed it up at his mama, and said, "Let my people go, says the Lord." Talk about speaking life into your circumstances. He was speaking a life of freedom from constraint and no more diaper changes. But he's being raised up in the way he should go, and he knew God's word. Words are powerful. Another time, I was doing grandkid care, and the parents were on a much-needed vacation. And you know how much fun, how precious it is to tuck your grandbabies into bed. Oh, I love that time. I love to pray with them. So I went around to each one, tucked them in bed, prayed with them. Is that the last one, you know, like the last of the Mohicans, the one that's not ready to go to sleep yet? There's always one. So he's sitting in his bed, he's reading his book quietly. His mom's got this cute string of party lights strung underneath his bunk bed, so those were on. And I went in and I said, "Do you have any prayer requests?" He just kept reading. I thought, okay, Grammy's ready for bed. So I laid down on top of the covers next to him. And I said, "Would you like to pray or would you like for me to pray?" He's still reading. And then he looks over at me with this sweet smile and a twinkle in his eye. And he said, "Grammy, I want to pray for you." Oh, my heart just melted. Tears came to my eyes. That just blessed me. You know what he prayed? He prayed, "Dear Jesus, please help Grammy to be the best Grammy she can be." Precious blessing. Straight from the heart of God through the mouth of a child. Profound words. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. On a different note, you have two handouts in your blue folder from me. One is, and they're both on the left side. The first one is a list of the scriptures, front and back, that I'm going to be using as I share what God's laid on my heart this morning. If you'd like to, you can use that and follow along. The second one is a list of who I am in Christ from A to Z. That one, I would love if you would save it and enjoy it at home. Proverbs 18:21 tells us that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And James 3:10 says that out of the same mouth come forth blessing and cursing. These things, my brethren, ought not to be so. Life or death, blessing or cursing. What is coming out of your mouth? Are you speaking life? Are you speaking blessings? My sister-in-law, Alice, who was a mighty woman of God and a powerful prayer warrior, made blessings and positive conversation a part of who she was. I honestly don't ever remember her speaking a negative word, a criticism, a judgment, a comparison, you should have done this better. You could have been wiser about your choices. I never heard anything like that come out of her mouth, even if somebody might have deserved that kind of comment. Her words blessed, her words built up, her words encouraged. For many years, I honestly didn't get it. I kept thinking, how come, you know, we're talking about things and she doesn't say a word? Until 3.5 years ago, when I was taught the importance of speaking and praying God's word out loud over myself and others daily, the power of Scripture began a life-changing work in me. After following Christ for 36 years, I started speaking positive things about myself and about others. What his word says, I personalized these scriptures. I put my name into them. They became a part of my heart and my mind, my thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Ephesians 1, 3 through 5 is one of my favorite passages. Say it with me. Let's make it personal. Let's replace the words us and we with the word me. Listen to the words that you're saying. Think about what you're saying. Let's say it together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed me in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose me in him before the foundation of the world, that I should be holy and blameless before him in love. To himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. He has blessed you and me in Christ with every spiritual blessing. You were chosen by him before the foundation of the world. And in Christ, you stand before him, holy and blameless. You are adopted as his child because it pleased him. You are special. He loves you. Let's say Ephesians 1, 7. In him, I have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of my trespasses according to the riches of his grace. You are redeemed. You are delivered. You are saved by his blood when you make him your Lord and Savior. Ladies, you just spoke these powerful truths. Are you his child? Have you been redeemed by him? Do you know personally that Christ's blood was shed for you when he died on the cross to cleanse you from your sin, to redeem you from the pit of hell, and to deliver you into the kingdom of God? God's word says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. You are God's precious handiwork, created by him, chosen before the foundation of the world to belong to Christ and to him alone. John 1:12 says, But to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the authority, the privilege, to become the children of God. That is, to those who believe in, trust in, and rely on his name. Does Jesus have your whole heart? Is he truly the Lord of your life? Let's pray together and give everyone here the opportunity to choose to be a part of God's plan and family, to fully surrender to him. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You can know your eternal destiny today, just like my mom realized her eternal destiny on Monday. Then you too will have an eternal destiny in heaven. Please pray these words after me. Dear Jesus, I come to you today a sinner. I want to belong to you, to be your child, to be a part of your perfect plan for me. I receive your forgiveness for my sins. Jesus, I want you to be my Savior and the Lord of my life. I give you my heart and my life today, all of it. I choose you, Jesus. Thank you that you have already chosen me. Thank you for giving your life for me so that I can spend eternity with you in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed this for the first time today, please talk to one of us. We would love to talk to you, to hear your story, to pray for you, and to bless you as you begin your walk with Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Matthew 16:21-23 provides some more insight into the power of our words. Starting with verse 21, from that time forth, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the high priests and the scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised from the dead. Verse 22. Then Peter took him, meaning Jesus, aside to speak to him privately and began to reprove and to charge him sharply, saying, God forbid, Lord, this must never happen to you. And verse 23. But Jesus turned away from Peter and said to him, get behind me, Satan. You are in my way, an offense and a hindrance and a snare to me. For you are minding what partakes not of the nature and quality of God, but of men. Jesus was preparing his disciples for what was coming, his death, his crucifixion. And Peter, in his love and concern, for his closest friend and teacher, actually grabbed Jesus and pulled him aside to share some of Peter's wisdom with his Lord. Peter shared his own thoughts. He spoke his mind, and he tried to impose his own values on Jesus. Peter was speaking from his fleshly heart, not his spiritual heart. He loved Jesus. He didn't want him to die, and he didn't want to talk about the crucifixion. Ladies, think about this. What would have happened if Jesus had listened to Peter? The plan that God had for us, Christ's death on the cross, for our redemption and right relationship with him, would not have happened. The course of eternity would have been changed. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Peter's words would have meant death to God's plan of redemption and life to Peter's plan for Christ to not die on the cross. Eternity would have been changed. Yet, verse 23 tells us that Christ turned away from Peter. Jesus turned away from the lie, and he turned to the truth. Ladies, how many times do we speak words that bless others with life and encouragement and the power of the truth of God's word? I, like Peter, have done the opposite. I have spoken my opinion. I have criticized. I have passed judgment. As a result, there was anger. There was hurt. There was a division. That's definitely not blessings. As Jesus responded to Peter, telling him that he was in the way, that Peter was a hindrance and a snare to him, we can be a hindrance and a trap to other people because we're speaking our thoughts instead of the truth of God's word. Macy was a fun dog. Macy was a great family dog. And it kind of looked like most of the time, like she had a smile. She just had a happy nature. And she loved sitting in the front seat. Well, besides being smart and obedient and lovable, Macy had a flip side. When she was not happy with us, she would pout. She would sulk. And when I would open the door to let her out to go potty, and this usually happened when we were gone for a day or gone for a period of time, she wouldn't look at me. She'd go racing out the door, head right for the chicken poop, and she would roll in it. That stuff stinks. You know what? Our words can do that. Our words can do the same thing to others that the chicken poop did to Macy. So just like Macy needed a bath to clean off the stink, God's word washes and cleanses our hearts and minds. It takes away our stinking thinking and replaces it with the truth. We, you and I, can exchange our stinking thinking, the lies of the evil one, with the truth, with who God says we are, with what God says about us. As the eldest of three children, I'm 3.5 years older than my middle brother. I was raised in a normal upper middle class family in Menominee, Michigan. My dad had a good job. My mother stayed home. As the eldest child, I was a perfectionist. Looking good was very important in our household. Expectations were high. Love was conditional. I knew I was loved, but I felt it was based on my performance and my being involved in the right things. My family went to church faithfully. I was involved in Sunday school, youth group, vacation Bible school. I helped teach Sunday school. I was a church camp counselor. I tried hard to do the right things, to make wise choices. As the only girl, I must admit, I was selfish and spoiled. As junior and senior high school came along, I began to see myself as not popular and not pretty and too fat. And by the end of high school and during my first couple of years of college, I would binge eat and then purge. I would make myself throw up. That ended when I got mono in college and spent 2 months at home, away from college, recovering. My self-esteem and my self-image were not good, but most people didn't know. I covered up my secrets well, behind nice clothes and a false sense of self-confidence. No one saw the inside. My self-talk was negative, and it did nothing to help me out of my pit. As I grew into adulthood, I took along with me my low self-esteem and my lack of self-confidence. Other than being a wife and mother with a teaching degree, what was my purpose in life? At the age of 30, I had a powerful salvation encounter with the Lord. My life changed forever. Since that time, I followed him, and I've done my best to be faithful to him. 3.5 years ago, things got even better. I started proclaiming, declaring, and decreeing God's word in prayer over myself, my family, and others. His love through his word and his spirit began to bathe me from the inside out. I exchanged the lies of the devil that I was fat, ugly, not good at being a friend, no good at relationships, a failure, and fearful with the truth of what God's word says about me. The truth that I am whole and complete in Christ. The truth that I am no longer broken by my past thinking. The truth that I am precious to Jesus. He loves me unconditionally forever. The truth that I am special to him. Because of his love which fills me, I can love others and have great relationships with them. And I'm beautiful because he created me in his very own image, just as he created you. Because of his love, I now have peace and not fear. I have chosen not to partner with fear anymore. God says in 2 Timothy 1:7, he has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I made the choice to exchange the lies of the devil for the truth of God's word. I now partner with the truth. Ladies, you can do that too. Let's say the verse together. Say it with me. 2 Timothy 1:7. He has not given me. Can you find it? It's not on there? All right, then just say it. It's easy. 2 Timothy 1:7. He has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's say it one more time for good measure. 2 Timothy 1:7. For he has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Okay, now what did you just partner with? Whoa. And what's the truth? Not fear. What's the truth? Power, love, and a sound mind. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. So when fear tries to come after you again, you stand firm and speak this verse out loud. If you want to write down the reference, if you have a pen, it's 2 Timothy 1:7. And when fear tries to come after you, you can say, no, stop. I belong to Christ. And from him, I have what? Power and love and a sound mind. You know, maybe parts of your story sound just like mine. God has a plan for your life, just as he has a plan for mine. I'm excited. I'm thankful to join him in fulfilling that plan. God's word empowers me as my mind is renewed by his word. Ladies, God's word will empower you as your mind is renewed. It will empower you, his word. His word will empower you to be the woman he created you to be, to fulfill the plan that he has for your life, and to fulfill his purpose for your lives. His word will empower you to claim your rights, your rightful inheritance as followers of Christ. Step up into the truth and power of God's word and step out by speaking it out over yourselves and your loved ones. Romans 12:2 tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Another translation says it this way: do not allow the world to mold you into its own image. Instead, be transformed from the inside out by the renewing of your mind. If we are not constantly renewing our minds with Scripture, what are we doing? Allowing the world to mold us and to fill our hearts and minds with its thinking, which is lies. It's not the truth. That's not what I want. Is that what you want? Ephesians 4:23 reminds us to be constantly renewed in the spirit of our mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. We want our minds to come into agreement with God's spirit that dwells within us. Fresh, renewed from the inside out, we experience a powerful transformation which sets us free from the lies of the devil and the world. Your words, ladies, will either empower you or they will strip you of power. Think about that. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Our thoughts direct our lives. What is in our hearts determines the path that we take. Matthew 12, 34b says, for out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. Luke 6:45 tells us a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Ladies, you have a choice. You can store the treasure of God's word, the good stuff, in your hearts or not. What we ponder, what we think about, that's what we speak, isn't it? I want to ponder and think about God's word because that's what I want to speak. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is noble, whatsoever is right, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is admirable, if anything be excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. What better way to renew our minds than to speak the word? Proverbs 1:19-1:30 from the Passion Translation tells us, your marvelous words are living miracles. No wonder I long to obey everything you say. Break open your word within me until revelation light shines out. Those with open hearts are given insight into your plans. I open my mouth and inhale the word of God because I crave the revelation of your commands. Hallelujah. Proclaiming scripture over ourselves and others releases its power within and upon our lives. And do you know that when you speak his word, it sets his angels to work? According to Psalm 103:20, bless the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. The voice of his word, meaning the proclamation, the speaking of his word. As we proclaim, speak out loud, declare and decree his word, his angels do and obey his word. We had a situation at our house after we moved back here where I walked in one day. It was filled with smoke, couldn't find the source. Fire department came, two fire trucks. I mean, they filled the whole front of the street. And they found that an electrical switch had accidentally been turned on, which ignited the gas fireplace, which had a closed damper, and miraculously, there was no damage to the house. The only thing we had to do was replace the glass doors on the fireplace. But what happened after that is what I will never forget. A friend came over later that afternoon, and we're talking together by the front door. And as we're talking, I had this vision. Oh, my word. I get goosebumps thinking about it. I saw God's angels dressed like Roman soldiers, shoulder to shoulder, foot to foot. They were 9 to 10 feet tall, facing out. They were standing all around the front of the fireplace, through the dining room, the kitchen, and back around to the fireplace. Because you know what happens there? That's where I walk. That's where I declare and decree God's word daily. That's my path. He had his angels there protecting us. That's my God. That's your God. God's word is filled with his essence, his energy, his life, and his dynamic force. It is infused with his heart, and it's the fragrance of heaven. Don't you want that sweet aroma flowing out of you? Where do you want your relationship with God to go? What are you going to speak? Lies to the truth. What others say about you or what God says about you? What type of treasure are you going to put in your heart? God's word or the words of the world around you? What are you going to choose? Remember, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Now, the choice is yours.